A bright white light fills the screen. The picture pulls back to reveal the light as a torch held aloft by a statuesque woman wearing a white robe with a blue sash draped around her. She stands on a plinth, a cloudy sky behind her. Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Against a smoky black and blue background, shafts of curved metal pass to and fro. The curved metal is part of a silver gyroscope which spins and then freezes. Gleaming letters appear. Revolution Studios. An aerial view of a busy modern city by night. Revolution Studios presents a Cube Vision production. A smart blue sedan drives along a residential street and pulls up outside a large detached house. A tall, handsome man with close-cropped afro hair gets out of the car, holding a large bouquet of flowers. He wears a smart camel coat, black scarf and leather gloves. He looks over at the house with a smile while someone watches from an upstairs window.
Mom says we have to be polite to her dates, and we will if he makes it to the door.
The man strides up the path and hits a tripwire, which sets off a homemade contraption built of mechanical toys. The contraption fires tomatoes at the man, and a toy truck tips a load of marbles underneath his feet. He slips and flails before landing heavily on his back. The dazed, tomato-covered man looks up as a pair of upstairs windows are opened and an ironing board is poked out. He frowns in bewilderment, then suddenly balloons filled with white glue are rolled off the ironing board. Each balloon lands on him, bursting and covering him in thick white glue. A boy and girl of about 10 years old appear at the window and laugh.
Merry Christmas, sucker!
And don't come back for Kwanzaa.
Ha! Think you're going out with Iron Mama?
I'm gonna get you.
The boy operates a remote controller, and a huge Santa ornament flies off the roof, landing on top of the man and trapping him inside it.
Get me out of here! Oh.
The man runs off, and the kids wander into a bedroom.
Lindsay, you really think Dad's coming back?
Any day now. But until then, we have to keep Mom available.
Problem is, she's just too pretty.
That just makes our job a whole lot tougher.
Sometimes, I feel sorry for her.
Well, I feel sorry for the next sucker who tries to put the moves on her.
A streetwise guy in his mid-30s swaggers into a car showroom. A film from Brian Levant. Ice Cube. Are we there yet? Inside the showroom, a salesman walks over to the guy.
Mr. Persons.
My man. What you got for me?
The salesman holds up a set of keys, and the man, Nick Persons, grins broadly as he takes them. Nia Long. Jay Moore. MC Gainey. Nick gets into the driver's seat of a gleaming black Lincoln SUV.
Got that new car smell.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Ooh. This pup is missing one thing.
A wobbly-headed model of a baseball player for the dashboard.
Welcome to the big league, Satch. Let's make it happen.
Ooh-wee! Look at this ride. Parchment leather with the satin nickel trim. Mm-hmm. Look out, ladies! Here we come! Holla!
The model's wobbly head comes alive to talk to Nick. The showroom doors are opened, and Nick pulls out in the large, impressive vehicle. His pivoting silver wheel decorations spin as he stops at a red light. A guy calls over to him.
Nick Persons. How's it going, man?
How's it look?
The young guy nods, impressed as Nick drives off smugly. Alicia Allen. Philip Daniel Bolton. Nick passes a sexy young woman who's walking her dog. He stares and the woman smiles and waves. The model baseball player butts in.
Keep driving, fool. That's the one that sticks her dog on you.
Nick boots up at a lady holding a stop sign at a children's crossing. Executive producers Todd Garner, Derek Dolce. Produced by Dan Coulthard. A nerdy kid drops his boots as he crosses. Nick honks his horn as the kid gathers up his boots. The kid stands and blows a raspberry.
What? You want some of this? Huh? You want a piece of me?
Nick jumps out of the SUV and the kid runs off. Produced by Ice Cube, Matt Alvarez. Directed by Brian Levant. Nick parks his new car outside a memorabilia shop. Nick's Fine Sports Collectibles. Marty, a shop assistant in his 30s, comes out and makes a we're not worthy gesture.
Oh, my goodness. 6,000 pounds of respect.
Yeah. Nice, huh?
Yeah.
You take it for a spin?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Inside.
Man, what did that unit set you back?
Huh. I got a good deal on it.
Yeah, right. Your payments probably cost more than my car.
Marty, my shoes cost more than your car.
Two boys come in.
Oh, look, Nick, here come your favorite customers.
Hey, mister, you got any Yu-Gi-Oh?
What you think?
You got any Dragmo DT?
Look, you come in here every day asking the same questions. We ain't got no Pokemon, no Digimon, no Buffy, no SpongeBob, no Beanie Babies, and no Shoplifters. Now get, both of y'all, get!
Nick throws a football at one of the boys who was about to steal a photo. They run out and start licking the glass door.
You better get out of here.
No, you really got away with kids.
They're like cockroaches, except you can't squish them.
The boys have run off.
You gonna clean that?
I don't do windows.
Why, that'll dry.
Nick trudges out with a bottle of cleaning fluid and a roll of paper towels.
People want to know why I hate kids.
He squirts fluid over the glass, then sees a reflection and turns with his mouth hanging open. Nick gapes as across the road in dreamlike slow motion, a curvy young woman pulls on her overcoat. The wind blows through her long black hair as she paces gracefully up the street. Nick turns dumbly and steps back into the shop. He looks shell-shocked as he stares at Marty behind the counter.
What's the matter with you?
Nick blinks and frowns in confusion.
I think I'm in love.
Love? What do you mean, love?
Marty sees the woman.
Oh, yeah, that's the new girl from the party planning place. Yikes.
She's so fine. Man, I got to get with that.
Whoa. She's a divorcee, man. That's way too much baggage for a guy like you.
Don't be so quick to judge people, man.
What? This isn't the Nick the Quick that I know.
Hey, I had broccoli yesterday.
So?
Sometimes you got to try something new, my friend. Look and learn.
Nick strides out and swaggers across the road towards the young woman who stands writing in a large file of fax. Everything becomes dreamlike again as the woman looks at Nick and gives him a friendly smile. Nick grins back at her. He's stockily built with cropped afro hair and a neat beard and wears a white top with 32 on it. Nick's smile turns to a frown as the two kids from the house run over to the woman and hug her. Nick turns and marches back to the shop. Marty shrugs as Nick scuttles into the shop and looks out at the woman through the window.
What happened?
Oh, man, she's a breeder. Two of them.
They look out of the window and Nick shudders like something cold and drop down his back. City lights twinkle against the dark night sky. Rain pours down as Nick's SUV cruises along a street. Nick sees a broken down car up ahead and spots a pair of shapely female legs leaning towards the open bonnet. He grins and leans over for a closer look as the woman turns to him.
Hey, wait!
Oh, no.
It's the woman with the kids, and he drives on, then stops.
Hey, Nick! Don't do this! She's got two kids in a broken-down car! I mean, what's next? You gonna ask her mama to move in with us?
Nick ignores Satch, the wobbly-headed baseball player, and reverses back to Suzanne, the rain-soaked young woman.
Oh, I'm so happy to see you! I've been standing out here forever!
Nick's attached jumpies to his engine, then thinks.
You know what? This might not be a good idea because we got rain, electricity.
Oh, but I sure do appreciate it.
She smiles warmly. Nick melts and grins.
Okay.
He prepares her engine.
You know, you look so familiar. Have we met before?
Well, I'm Nick. I work right across the street from you.
Oh, that's right. You're the guy that owns that cute little toy store.
Fine Sports Collectibles.
Oh, Fine Sports Collectibles.
I'll hook this up for you.
Nick connects a jumper to her engine. It sparks and blows him backwards through the air. Later, Nick and Suzanne are both sitting in the SUV.
I think my car hates me. Oh, but Nick, this is a nice ride.
Oh, you like this, huh?
Yeah.
You know, look, it even heats the undercarriage.
I like it.
Remember the score. One player, two kids, and holy moly.
Satch gulps as she takes her coat off.
Oh, that is so cool. That's a Satchel Paige bobblehead. That's when he played for the Monarchs.
What? A woman that knows a little something about Satchel?
He was my daddy's idol. He pitched for 5 decades, including 3 shutout innings for the Royals at the age of 59.
Well, you know, my man Satch used to have a saying. Age is a question of mind over matter.
If you don't mind, it don't matter. You know that? Oh,
She answers her mobile.
This is Suzanne.
Hubba, hubba. Now that's a woman. Plenty of smarts, easy on the eyes, and can quote my stats. I don't care if she got 100 kids. I like her. All we gotta do is lose the small fries. Now, I'm not saying drop them in the shark tank, nah. But there's nothing kids like more than military school.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Excuse me?
Oh, I don't mind. You know, if you need a lift, I'll give you a ride.
Oh, okay.
Smooth, thick.
Here's how I think that we're gonna make our move. First, you lean over and pretend like you're gonna help her with her seatbelt. Then with your free hand, put your arm around her shoulder.
Nick drops a cap on Sash.
Let me out! How am I gonna wave you home if I can't see the play? I'm a Hall of Famer. How about showing a little respect?
Suzanne's hat.
And that's my story. So what about you, Nick? Are you local?
Black man from Oregon?
Right.
Nah, I'm from St. Louis.
Oh.
I actually moved out here to play AAA ball with the Beavers, but ended up hurting my shoulder and kind of ended my career.
Oh, you threw your arm out pitching.
Well, not exactly. I tore my rotator cuff lifting my big screen TV out of a U-Haul.
That's really sad.
I know. Good thing they got athlete's insurance in case you do something stupid.
Suzanne smiles prettily.
So, you know, I was wondering if maybe you'd consider...
The kids open the front door.
What is going on out here?
Mom, where have you been? Miss Mabel burned out dinner, fell asleep, and just keeps farting.
In the lounge, an old woman blows off.
Kevin and Lindsay, this is Mr. Persons. He was nice enough to give me a ride home.
What's he want? A reward?
You know what? I really better get out of here.
Smart.
Nick trudges back to his car.
Hey, Nick. I don't mean to be a pest, but I was just wondering if you could give me a ride to work tomorrow.
Nick grins.
Of course.
Oh, great. Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
The kids glower.
Mom, where have you been? Do you know what time it is?
Excuse me, I'm the mother. Get in the house. Get in the house.
Don't you have an explainer?
Get in the house.
Suzanne jostles the kids back into the house and slams the door. Speeded up film of Nick parking outside his shop and handing Suzanne her case as she gets out of his car. Marty watches, impressed. Nick drives her to work again. He holds the passenger door open as she gets in and reopens the door for her once they've arrived. The next morning, back at Suzanne's, Nick opens the passenger door for Suzanne and she gets in. An arrow embeds itself in a nearby tree. Nick doesn't see it and glances around in bewilderment. The daft grin returns to his face and he gets into the SUV. Day after day, the smiling Nick ferries Suzanne to and from work. One morning, they park outside the shop and Suzanne unloads three large cardboard boxes from the back of the SUV. She stacks the boxes into Nick's arms and he follows her, his view completely blocked. In the shop, Marty's cleaning some of the sports memorabilia with a feather duster and shakes his head unhappily. Nick and Suzanne each push a trolley of groceries through a supermarket.
Nick, thank you so much for helping me these past couple days. You are so sweet.
Yeah, I know.
She smells a cantaloupe.
Hey, does this seem ripe to you?
I don't know. I don't need food unless it has an expiration date on it.
Nick, you are funny. You eat worse than my 7-year-old son. You kind of dress like him, too.
What's wrong with that?
And do you know I have never seen you without a hat?
You don't need to see me without my hat.
Oh, come on, Nick. Let me see. What do you have under them?
What you mean?
Come on,
Nick. Watch out, girl.
Get back. They play blue five and Suzanne knocks off his baseball cap. They both bend over for it and bump heads. When they stand, Nick's large cross necklace is caught on her coat.
Don't move.
There. Suzanne frees the necklace from her coat and Nick stares at her earnestly. He strokes her cheek and leans forward to kiss her. But she shies away.
Nick, wait.
Want to go to my apartment?
No, I can't. I can't. I've thought about it. I really have. But let's be realistic. I'm a single mom.
No. You're a sexy mom.
Do you know, this whole time we've been hanging out, you've never once asked me about my kids.
He looks shamefaced.
How they doing?
I bet you don't even remember their names.
Rudy and Theo?
Nick.
She stares at him sincerely and holds his arms.
I think we should just be friends.
Nick's on a basketball court with Marty and some buddies.
Next point win.
Marty bounces the ball.
All right, hold on to your earrings there, yeah, Blaine, because I'm going to embarrass you. And when I do, it's going to hurt because I love you like a brother.
Nick gets the ball off him and passes it to another guy. Marty tries to go after Nick, but is blocked by a tall guy. Ball's passed back to Nick, and he scores.
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Get off of me, Lurch. That was a moving pick. Come on, let's run it again. Same teams. Come on, come on.
Nah, I gotta go, y'all.
What do you mean you gotta go? We're tied. Somebody has to lose. It's the American way.
Hey, somebody did lose. And you already know I gotta go do that thing.
What thing? What?
You know, I gotta take Suzanne to the airport.
Take Suzanne to the airport in the morning? Wow! You are stuck in the friend zone.
Oh, yeah. Get out.
Listen to me. Please listen to me. We've been friends a very, very long time, and I'm telling you, you gotta dump this girl.
What you mean, dump her? We're not even going out.
That's the point, Nick. Whatever it is you don't have going on, it has got to end.
Okay. For all those who listen to this clown, Nick Persons will never be in the friend zone. Understand that and believe that.
Nick walks off.
Friend zone. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Nick's SUV is parked up outside the airport departure section. Nick and Suzanne get out of the car.
Go.
Nick, thank you so much. You are such a great friend.
The friend zone is for losers only. Please unload your friend and get on with your life.
Well, wish me luck.
Good luck.
She pecks him on the cheek.
Thanks for everything, Nick.
She heads off.
Suzanne, can I talk to you real quick?
Sure.
You know, what we got going, I mean, we kind of don't really have something.
Oh.
I mean, I don't really know what to call this, but it's kind of...
This is Suzanne. Yes, Frank. Just one second.
She turns away.
Well, when did that happen? Well, actually, I'm already at the airport.
Hey, you can't park here.
I know. But my friend's just making a call. She'll be off the phone in a second.
Gonna be an expensive call.
But I'm standing right here.
Yeah, that's why you're getting a ticket.
They're expecting to spend New Year's Eve with you. Oh, don't even go there with me, Frank. You haven't spent 5 minutes with your kids since Labor Day. Frank, you know what? I am so sick of this. Hello?
You know what? That lady's got enough problems.
The airport cop tears up the ticket and walks off. Looking angry and upset, Suzanne hangs up her mobile and picks up her luggage. She walks back to the SUV and puts her bags back inside.
I'm not going.
What's the matter?
My ex is sick and he's not going to pick up the kids.
She slams the door and paces away.
What about the babysitter?
Miss Mabel's leaving for Las Vegas with her church group.
Oh, no.
You know, my kids miss him so much, and all he ever does is pull the rug out right from under them.
Suzanne looks helpless.
I'm gonna lose my job.
Suzanne gets into the passenger seat of the SUV and sighs heavily. Nick stares pensively into space and walks over to the open passenger door, a faint smile playing across his lips.
What if I bring him?
Come on, Nick, I couldn't ask you to do that. That's too much.
Why not? Look, it's no big deal. Serious.
She looks at him, wide-eyed.
Really?
Positive.
Are you sure?
I want to help you on this.
Nick, this is huge!
She gets out.
Thank you so much. Oh, you are a lifesaver. Okay, so I'll get the 3 tickets, and as soon as you guys land, just call me.
Oh, no, I meant that I'll drop them off at the airport.
Oh, no, you can't expect the kids to travel alone, Nick. Kevin's got asthma, that recycled air in the plane. I mean, yeah.
But it'll be fine. Kids fly all the time. It should be nothing. I'll make sure they get on the plane. You know, they'll get milk and cookies, little plastic wings, get a chance to meet the pilot. You know, it'll be real cool.
Suzanne's not happy.
Especially with me sitting right there next to him, making sure everything is all right.
Oh, how can I ever repay you?
She hugs him and Satch sighs. The SUV pulls up outside Suzanne's, and Nick looks over to the house. He's put plastic covers over the car seats. On the dashboard, Satch gives his 2 cents.
Now, obviously, you don't care that she's using you, but ask yourself this. Would you trust a woman who would trust you with her kids? I'm tempted to call Child Services right now.
Uncle Nick loves kids.
Big lummox. Might as well just put myself on eBay.
The flatulent woman answers the door.
Hello. I'm here to pick up the kids.
She looks him up and down.
Now that's what I'm talking about. What you wasting your time with Miss Suzanne for?
Excuse me?
You come with me. Miss Mabel take you on a guided tour to Sin City.
Okay. Excuse me.
He pushes past.
Hello? Somebody? Who wants to go to Vancouver?
Lindsay and Kevin appear at the top of the stairs and slowly walk down. Nick's smile fades when he sees their surly expressions. The kids reach the bottom and stare at Nick. They wear winter coats and woolly hats and have backpacks over their shoulders. Kevin holds a superhero doll.
Mom says that we should be polite.
She grins.
Now, kids, I know you're disappointed about your father, but you're going to have fun. Aren't you?
Yes, Miss Mabel.
Kevin holds out his hand to Nick.
Hey, did you bring us a gift?
Yeah, Mom's man friends always bring us presents.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course. Kind of guy you think I am. Uncle Nick loves kids. As a matter of fact, look. Bam! Dr. Munchie's pizza coupon. You get a free liter of soda with any purchase of a large pepperoni.
What's a liter?
Oh, yeah, and for you?
Nick feels around in his pockets.
Bye-ya! Look at that. Corkscrew.
Cool! Hey, he's got a knife!
You can't give him that.
Shut up. Make me. I don't make trash. I bury it.
Well, I'll bury my finger.
Say it. Huh. You're too scared to say it.
Be quiet, you paranoid dunce.
Stop it.
Miss Mabel separates the kids.
Hey, want to learn some Chinese?
Sure, what you got?
Kevin kicks Nick in the nuts, then punches him in the face.
Sensei says the first one is always a decoy.
Lindsay runs out of the house.
Something!
Followed by Kevin.
That's my seat!
Nick walks out after them, nursing his jaw. He watches as the kids fight outside the SUV. Miss Mabel leans on his shoulder.
They will eat you alive.
She slaps his butt and goes inside. The kids are still fighting as they open the car door.
Hey! Watch the paint!
A large passenger plane comes into land. Nick's SUV pulls into an airport parking lot and parks up.
Okay, now, once we get in this terminal, I want everybody sticking together. Now, be careful opening that door.
The back door hits a yellow post.
Man! What?
The back door now has a yellow dent in it. Nick marches round.
Sorry, Nick.
Oh, damn! Boy, didn't you hear what I just said?
Ooh, you swore.
You damn right I swore. That's about $400 worth of damage to my new car.
That's twice. Now you have to put $2 in the swear jar.
Yeah, well, he got to put about $400 in my pocket. You got $400 for me, huh? No. And I want it cash.
Kevin bursts into tears.
Okay, man. No tears, all right? I won't have to change no diapers out here.
Well, that's real good. Have you ever thought of, like, being a youth pastor or a therapist?
Look, it ain't like I said I was gonna take off my belt.
He's gonna beat me. Let me save me.
Hey.
Kevin runs away as a security guard drives over.
Kevin, come here.
Is there a problem here, sir?
This little game I'm playing with the kids. Boy, bring your butt back here.
The guard drives off and Kevin hides behind a concrete door.
Yo. Hey, look, I got money. Check it out. Did that shut you up, huh? Here you go. $10, come on.
Kevin runs out and takes the money.
That's right.
Hey, you can't buy us off. Apologize.
No. We're cool.
Yeah. We cool, little mama. Plus, there's enough to go around. Got a 10 spot for you, too.
I do believe I'm older than him.
Lindsay holds out her hand standoffishly, and Nick peels off another $10 bill.
I can't believe I'm getting hustled by a couple of gangsters. Here.
She takes the cash.
Now, hurry up. We can't be late.
At airport security.
So when we go through, they can see our bones and innards?
How cool, that's an x-ray.
Wrong answer. It's a metal detector.
Oh, to see if you have any bombs?
Shh, you're not allowed to say bombs here. Why can't you say bombs?
Shh.
Please remove all metal objects, keys, loose change, cell phones, jewelry.
Okay. This might take a minute.
A sign shows that sharp objects are illegal. Lindsay turns to Kevin.
I hope you left Nick's little present in the car, or else you're going to jail.
She smiles and walks off. Kevin looks nervous and pulls the corkscrew half out of his pocket. He looks at the warning sign, which includes a corkscrew just like his, and his eyes widen. He glances over at a dustbin. At the desk, Nick's handing over his metal objects.
Cell phone. Car keys.
Kevin acts innocent as he drops the corkscrew into Nick's jacket pocket and puts his backpack and action figure into a security tray. Kevin nonchalantly strolls through the metal detector, then collects his belongings after they've been scanned. Nick walks through the metal detector.
What? Sir, can you step to the red line, please?
I put everything on the tray.
Nick walks up to a guard.
Please raise your arms to separate your legs.
Nick spreads his arms and legs, and the security guard passes a handheld scanner over his body. The scanner passes over Nick's jacket pocket. The guard reaches into Nick's pocket.
Corkscrew!
Nick's tackled to the ground by guards. One belly flops on top of him. Everything goes black. Leaving Portland Airport...
Let's just get out of here before I end up in Guantanamo Bay.
Our dad would have never given him a knife.
I'm not your dad.
That's for sure.
Nick glares at her. Later, on a railway station concourse...
All right, let's go. Pick it up. It's actually going to work out better because this train's a lot more fun.
Do you got any snacks?
You mean candy? Uh-uh, no way.
I have to pee.
Can't you wait till we get on the train? It's right there.
Kevin wriggles.
I don't think I can wait that long.
Yes, you can. Come on.
He's prone to bladder infections, you know.
Oh. All right, man, go do your business.
Kevin starts to run, but turns back.
Aren't you coming in with me?
Yeah, but I'm not touching nothing.
A guard in a peaked cap stands on the steps of a train.
All aboard!
Come on, come on.
I'm coming.
They drag the luggage along a platform.
Wait! My shoe's untied! Come on.
Kevin ties his legs slowly.
All clear.
The train's about to leave.
Come on, Kevin, hurry up.
Kevin's really not got the hang of this. Nick hops from foot to foot edgily.
Another loop.
You know what? Let me do it.
Nick kneels and starts to tie Kevin's bootlace.
No! You have to pull from the first loop. Otherwise, it's too tight at the top.
Okay.
The boy has problems. He won't eat anything orange, steamed, or poached. And what he does eat, they can't touch.
Okay, there you go.
No! Do it again. That doesn't feel right. His socks can't have elastic in them, and he won't use a toothbrush more than 5 days. Shut up! Make one. I want to make another one! No!
Nick picks Kevin and his bags up and runs.
Hold on! Whoa!
Reaching an open train door, he puts Kevin and the luggage down. Then heaves Kevin inside the train. Nick then lifts Lindsay in and looks relieved. Kevin sits by a window and looks at his toy spaceman.
Hey! Where's Galactico's cape?
He sees the yellow cape blowing around on the platform.
Kevin!
Kevin jumps off the train. Nick, who's loading the luggage on, doesn't see Kevin or Lindsay jump out past him.
Look, it's damp.
On board now, Nick takes the luggage to their seats and looks alarmed when he sees the kids aren't there. The carriage stare. Nick spots them outside and hammers on the window.
Hey! Kevin! Lindsay!
They're oblivious to Nick as the huge train with Canada emblazoned on the front begins to pull out.
Hey! The train's moving!
Panic-stricken, Nick pounds through a carriage.
Out my way!
He pushes an old lady out of the way. As the train moves faster, Nick has to run faster to stay in the same place as the kids. They watch calmly.
What's he doing? I think he wants us to jump onto a moving train.
As Nick batters past people, the kids wave sweetly from the platform.
Hey, Kevin! Lindsay! Hey! Get up here! Come on! Hey! What are you doing? Run!
Are you crazy?
Nick stands in the doorway of the last train car as it leaves the kids behind. He jumps out onto a pile of soft luggage and cash bags.
Mama!
Suzanne calls from Vancouver.
Hey, Nick, how's the train ride going?
Well, we haven't exactly left yet. We decided to drive.
It should be much more educational.
Oh, no, Nick, I cannot let you do that. That's way too much trouble.
No, no. It'll only take a few more hours and gives me a chance to get to know Kevin and Lindsay.
Okay, I'm really impressed. You're very sweet.
Yes, I am.
Well, you sound like you have everything under control. Can I talk to the kids?
Oh, okay. Look, don't tell them nothing that happened, okay?
He lost our luggage.
What?
Are you guys dating?
No.
No.
Let me talk. We want to go to Dad's.
You cannot go to Dad's right now. You're going with Nick.
Why? Dad's house is in the same direction. Nick could drop us off there on his way not to date you.
Honey, your dad is sick and in bed. Now, if you want me to, I can just quit my job and we'll all go live in a cardboard box.
Whatever.
Lindsay shoots Nick a dark look.
Let him drive.
Be nice. I love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Nick's SUV heads through town.
Now look, driving you two gremlins on New Year's Eve for over 300 miles was never on the agenda, okay? We just drove across town and y'all done messed up my door. So now I got to lay down some rules. Rule number one.
Lindsay in the front seat sarcastically picks up a pen and pad.
Rule number one, don't touch the climate control. Rule number two, don't kick the seat. Rule number three, don't play with toys.
Can I play with my pizza coupon?
No sass in me. No eating in the car, no drinking in the car, and no smoking.
I don't smoke.
Good. Don't start on my watch. I don't want y'all to touch the radio. I don't even want you to sniff the new car smell. I want you to sit yourself down on that protective plastic and be seen, not heard. Comprende?
Lindsay raises a hand to speak, and Nick makes a zipping motion across his mouth. She rolls her eyes. They bear right onto Interstate 5 to North Seattle. Later, the sun shines weakly on the damp road as they almost grind to a halt in a traffic jam.
You know, if you're thinking about my mom, you're wasting your time.
You know, I'm not wasting my time because me and your mom, we're just friends.
That's good, because mom's still into dad and he's totally into her. And they're getting back together soon.
Whoopee! I'm happy for him.
Or maybe you guys should go out. A couple of dates with you would really make her appreciate dad.
Nick glowers at her.
Let's go.
They're at a standstill. Kevin plays a video game.
Have a taste of my steel, zombie. Yes! That game doesn't sound G-rated.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's keeping him occupied.
The boy played Lady Pac-Man at the mall and had nightmares for a week. Give it here, Kevin.
Hey, give it!
Kevin, give it to me. What did I say?
It's not yours!
Give it here now!
You're not the boss of me!
Cut it out.
Well, why don't we call Mom and see what she has to say about this?
Fine. You win.
Kevin throws down his headphones.
Snitch.
Nick glances at Lindsay.
Baby. Big baby. Bigger baby. Giant baby. Enormous baby. Humongous baby. Colossal baby.
M9. R2.
Okay. You're both acting like a couple of babies.
They both stick their tongues out at Nick.
Mm.
He sticks his tongue out at them. Lindsay wrinkles her nose in disgust. A cop directs the jammed up traffic.
That's right. Drink your juice, baby.
Hey, no food in the car.
It's not food, it's juice.
Same difference.
Mine!
Hey.
It squirts everywhere as Nick grabs it.
Oh, y'all think that's funny, huh? Don't you? It's not funny.
Nick grumpily hurls the juice out of the car window. Lindsay fiddles with a stereo.
Come on, everybody, it's a hamster thing.
Whoa. Nah, one thing you gotta know up in here, that we keep it real. You can believe that.
Nick changes channel. Lindsay and Kevin pull a face.
Yuck, noisy. What is that?
50 Cent.
Well, I'll pay him a dollar just to shut up. Do you have any Justin Timberlake or Clay Aiken?
Lord, these kids are ethnically challenged. Do you know you can get shot by playing those kind of CDs in my old neighborhood?
We're not ghetto. We're trying to be ghetto fabulous. We're just fabulous.
She smiles regally and changes channel. Nick glares at her, then looks to the front as Lindsay groups around in her seat. The police wave Nick and other drivers past an accident. Free of the jam, Nick wriggles in his seat and settles back.
Time. Open road. Vancouver, here we come.
Lindsay and Kevin bob their heads in time to the music. Nick slowly warms to the beat and begins to bob his head. Everyone's bobbing, including Notting Doll's Satch on the dash.
Yeah!
Nick's black Lincoln Navigator speeds along a damp freeway which cuts through flat, wooded territory. Kevin's bobbing around in the back. Suddenly the smile on his face fades and he looks worried. He raises his hand.
I have to pee.
What? No, 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 you do not have to pee. Didn't you just go back at the train station?
I tried to go, but there was a man standing next to me, so it just went away.
But look, man, all this open road. You can hold it, I know you can. Just cross your legs.
You should have asked if we had to go before we left.
I did.
No, you asked before we got on the train, not before we left the station. You're supposed to ask before every segment. Everyone knows that.
Evidently not.
I'm not gonna make it. Do you have a bottle?
No.
How about this ashtray?
Kevin, there's no receptacle in this vehicle. Now, look, the exit is about a mile away, and you can hold it.
How far is a mile?
No, 5,000 and some kind of... Look, think of something else. Football, math test, puberty.
Are we there yet?
No.
I'm sure the carpet is absorbent.
Oh, here it comes!
For God's sakes, man! He's gonna make his water in your car!
No, he ain't.
Nick swings the car across the path of a lorry and heads off the freeway.
Incoming! Incoming!
Nick runs through a truck stop store holding Kevin in the air. He looks for a men's room in the back.
No, right here!
Kevin kicks the door open. The first urinal is out of order. They lift the lid of a lavatory and stare into it. Nick drives out of the men's and carries Kevin to the ladies. Kevin kicks the door open, then a cubicle door.
This is taken!
I'm sorry!
Oh, it's dribbling out!
Okay, go, go, just go.
Kevin smiles with relief as he pees into a sink. Nick still holds him in the air.
That's disgusting!
She lays about Nick with a handbag. He turns to protect himself and points Kevin at her. Kevin showers her with pee. Her screams are drowned by a lorry pulling up. Kevin and Nick stride out of the store. Lindsay hides sherbet she's eating. Nick, carrying a brown paper bag, opens the car door.
Bought us some groceries for later. Your mama said you like fruit.
He hands her a jar.
Garlic olives?
Hey, it's a truck stop. That's all they had.
Nick gets in the back and sprays cleaner on a stain on the roof.
You see this? It's because of you guys I gotta do this right here.
You squeezed it, not me.
Ah! Not coming out.
The purple stain's looking worse.
Hit that green button for me, please.
Lindsay reaches to the mobile on the dash.
Yo, 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 yo!
Hey! Hey, it's Marty. What's up, man? How's it going with those stupid little brats you got with you?
Remember this. If the kids hate you, the mama won't date you.
Nick leaps to turn the mobile off.
Where'd you go? What, are you in a tunnel? Hello?
Nick closes his driver's door and is aware of the kids scowling at him. He fiddles with his baseball cap awkwardly and turns away.
Okay, all right. Seatbelts. Everybody gotta go to the bathroom, right?
The kids sneer at him. Kevin hasn't put on his seatbelt.
Okay, here we go.
Lindsay turns to Kevin in the back and they exchange a conspiratorial nod.
Nick, we already know about you and Mom.
You do?
Of course, she talks about you all the time.
Yeah, Mom's in here. She said you're better looking than Tay Diggs.
Oh, yeah? I am, huh?
Oh, sure. In fact, she told me...
Oh, my gosh. He has an inhaler. He's having an asthma attack.
What? Where is
it? It's in the back. Hurry up. Oh.
All right, I'm going. I got it.
Nick jumps out of the car and the kids lock it.
Good one, Lindsay.
Ha, ha, ha. Very funny. Open up.
I knew you were lying. Yeah, we're just friends. Yeah, right. You're just using us to suck up to our mama.
What?
Yeah, you're just a dirty, horny sex man like all the others.
Nasty man. You're a nasty bad man.
Look, I tried to do your mama a favor, you little booger.
You probably want to kiss her, don't you?
Kevin kisses the window.
Look, off the glass. Off the glass. And you, open this door.
You forgot the magic word.
Open this damn door!
Ooh, you just swore again! Lindsay, he just swore again!
So what? Hey, I'm not playing with you.
You can't make us do anything.
Hey, this is my car! You hear me, little girl? This is my car!
Lindsay's in the driver's seat.
You bet not! Look at me, I'm serious. I'm not playing with you, little girl, okay? Now, if you don't open that door before I count to three, somebody gonna get it.
She holds the steering wheel defiantly.
One.
She steps on the gas.
Two.
Lindsay's eyes are determined.
Three.
She rams it into drive and nearly flattens Nick as they zoom forward.
Stop that car!
She slams on the brakes. Nick runs into the back of the car.
Where did he go?
Nick suddenly leaps up at her window. Lindsay reverses in circles around petrol pumps. Kevin opens the sunroof, stands up, and waggles his hands by his ears. The car narrowly misses the pumps. Nick launches himself on top of the car and sticks his head through the sunroof. He struggles to get control. Kevin strangles Nick by his beat. An old trucker watches as Nick's legs flail around in the air.
That man's setting a bad example for them kids.
They're reversing into a sign which says, come back soon. Robert is a huge lumberjack with an axe. His axe falls towards the car. Smashing Nick smack in the crotch.
Now that's frontier justice.
The lumberjack sways a little, making the axe grind more. Later, the car zips along in the sunshine on a wide road bordered by trees. Nick spots an old truck with the carcass of a moose strapped on the front and smiles broadly. The kids are gagged and strapped face down to the bonnet of Nick's car. Nick smiles blissfully, then is brought back to reality.
Hey, turn up the rear heat.
Yeah.
No. No heat, no talking. You're lucky I'm letting you live.
But
what I should do, I should pull up on the side of the road, dig a hole, and bury both of you two. That's what I should do. Yeah, 100 years from now, a grizzly bear find your bones and pick its teeth with it. Wouldn't like
in
that.
In the back, bitch. Lindsay writes a note and shows it to the old trucker Al, who's alongside in his truck.
We have rights.
No, you have no rights. Not
the
here.
Sign reads, help us. Al, who's also overheard the conversation, nods in response to Lindsay's feigned distress and gets on his CB radio.
Breaker 2-6. This is Big Al out on Highway 5, mile marker 16. I got two little lambs down here been snatched up by the big bad wolf. I need some backup. Pronto.
10-4, Big Al. Let's squash this bug.
Yeah, no consideration for my life, your life, or my spins.
A huge logging truck tailgates them.
What do you want? I'm driving here.
Nick turns back from hissing at the truck and looks at it through his rearview mirror. An aerial view shows Nick pulling over to let the truck pass. Now Al is behind him and the logger in front.
Mr. Henry, hurry. Idiot.
Lindsay and Kevin sit wide-eyed and innocent in the back of the car.
Why is he slowing down?
Al now drives alongside him and points emphatically for Nick to pull over.
Uh-oh. I don't like this.
Pull over right now! Pull it over! Pull it over!
You better do what he says.
Like hell I will. I've seen those vigilante trucker movies.
Lindsay rolls her eyes.
I said pull over!
Al forces the SUV to the side of the road, but Nick doesn't stop.
Oh, no!
The SUV is rammed against Armco and sparks fly. Lindsay smiles as she screams.
You think you got me boxed in? Well, you can kiss my 330 cubic inches of V8 power, sucker. Hold on.
Kevin's eyes bulge. Nick slams on the brakes and then tries to pass Al's semi on the left. The SUV's heading straight for roadworks. Nick swerves into oncoming lanes and narrowly avoids traffic before hurtling uncontrollably into a wooded area. The kids giggle excitedly in the back as the car jumps a bank.
Insurance premiums are going through the roof!
The car careers and bumps down a wooded track. Nick's eyes open wide and surges his mouth. Yeah! The car soars into the air, then seems to stand still. Satch's head becomes detached as the car plummets.
That was so cool! Yeah!
Oh, I think I got me some whiplash.
Satch's head is hanging off. Nick gets out of the car. The kids watch eagerly as Nick takes in the burst tires and the paintwork, which is muddy, scratched, and dented. Nick jumps up and down angrily and kicks his cap towards a lake.
No!
An Amish man and his young son are fishing from a rowing boat.
What was Mom thinking?
I don't know. I like him. He's kind of funny.
Hey, don't get soft. This man is not our daddy. He's the enemy.
Nick hurls away his cap.
Take me there!
This is why we don't come to the city.
The Amish boy, dressed in black hat and jacket like his dad, nods emphatically. Lindsay and Kevin are thrown around in the back of the SUV as Nick frantically tries to get it out of a rut. The car then limps into a town on its punctured tires. The car pulls up at Fritz's garage. Nick pleads with a mechanic.
Look, man, all I need is four rims and four tires. And I'm gone. I'm out of here. Can you help me?
No, I cannot do it. I told you already, the SUV is too big. You know, listen.
So, look, you smaller ones.
Smaller? Okay, I put on a smaller tire for you.
Good.
Now you come back Tuesday.
What?
Today is New Year's Eve. Time for me to go home. Thank you, bye-bye.
On the GPS screen.
See, there's Dad's right there. It's about 30 miles away.
I'm not walking 30 miles.
Who said anything about walking?
Oh. But I have to go home. It's New Year's Eve, Dick Clark.
Well, let me just pay you extra.
No, and no.
I can make it worth your while.
A sports card.
See what I got? Yao Ming, rookie card.
Oh, I see. So you think that just because I am Chinese, you can get me to do anything? Ooh.
It's three-dimensional.
Hologram.
Nick leaves the workshop.
Navigator.
Wearing a leather jacket with a funny hood, he pulls on a beanie hat and goes to look in the car.
No!
It's empty. A train approaches on a nearby track.
Kevin! Lindsay! Stop playing because I'm not in the mood!
Nick turns to see the kids sitting in an open car of the freight train.
Hey! Hey!
Dad's here, we come!
Nick grips his coat on a fence as he chases the train and runs alongside the kid's car.
What are you doing? Stop! Stop!
You think he can catch us?
Hey!
Maybe 10 years ago.
Don't be scared!
While as he tries, Nick can't keep up with the train and it gradually leaves him behind. He stops running.
What's wrong with you kids?
Nick suddenly spots a couple of saddled-up horses in a nearby yard. The train's rolling relentlessly down the track when Nick suddenly appears, galloping towards it on a horse.
Yeah! Come on!
The horse is gaining on the train.
Yeah! Come on, fleabag!
Nick draws level with the kids.
Your butts on this horse now!
Kevin shakes his head. Nick reaches in his jacket pocket for his mobile.
Hey, how you doing, baby?
Hi. Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah, everything is cool. Can I call you right back here?
Hey, wait, what's that sound? You sound very jiggly.
Must be your phone. Everything is cool on this end.
Are you gonna be here soon?
Sorta, kinda. Let me call you back in about 10 minutes.
Wait, I want to say hi to the kids.
Oh, okay. She want to talk to you guys and make sure everything is all right.
He chucks them the mobile.
Hi, Mom!
Hey!
Hi, babies. How are you doing? Are you having fun with Nick?
The train glides over a bridge, but Nick takes a little diversion down an embankment and up the other side. He hangs on tight and catches up with the kids again.
I know, baby, but just try to make the best of it, okay?
I love you.
Love you, too.
Lindsay chucks the phone back to Nick. The horse's hooves pound the ground.
Scoot over, I'm coming aboard.
That's a bad idea.
Says who?
Says the guy who put all that junk there.
Oh, snap!
The horse stops shot of pile of railroad sleepers and throws Nick over. Kevin and Lindsay wince. His face contorted and pain, Nick falls backwards. Later, he limps back to Fritz's. Nick shakes gravel from his shoe. The mechanic appears at the workshop door.
Why take so long? I have to hang Mirabal.
Flinching, Nick gets in his car and sees the GPS screen, which has Redmond indicated on it.
You little snotty-nosed runts. You know exactly where you are. You mess with Nick to quit, baby.
Now's your chance, Nick. Just hit yourself over the head with a brick and say that they were kidnapped.
Shut up.
Satch's head is back on.
Sign up.
Happy New Year.
The big, dirty SUV rolls off on its tiny new wheels. Lindsay puts up a brolly. They're off the train and walking from the station.
You think Nick's okay? What are you worried about him for?
I'm not. It's just... maybe we were a little rough.
Oh, please. That player got what he deserved.
Get your butts in this horse.
You got $400?
Sheltering together under the stripy brolly, they walk in pouring rain.
I've been thinking. We should have brought soup or something.
What for?
Because Dad's sick. What is he gonna eat?
He's a dad. I'm sure he has soup.
He must be lonely. Living all by himself.
Look, don't bug him about that. If we want him to hook up with Mom, we have to be subtle. Got it?
I got it.
Rucksacks on their backs, they stop outside a house. Through the window, they see their father, a tall, balding man who stands when a pretty dark-haired woman enters with a tiny baby. Their father takes the baby and smiles adoringly. Lindsay and Kevin look devastated. They stand dejectedly in the gloomy daylight. Their dad kisses the baby, which is in a pink hat, and then kisses the woman. Lindsay's big bottom lip droops and she looks down at the ground. They don't see Nick walk up behind them. Standing beneath a black brolly, he watches their father playing happily with the baby.
Come on, y'all, let's get out of here.
Later, driving the kids back, a solemn and pensive-looking Nick observes Lindsay and Kevin in his rearview mirror. Subdued and with miserable expressions, they sit slumped in the back of the car. Lindsay wipes a tear from her cheek. Nick looks upset. A tear rolls down Satch's cheek. The SUV travels along in dull daylight by a river and pulls up at a roadside diner. Inside the diner, the kids sit glumly at a table toying with her food.
Want some chocolate cake? It's world famous.
Mom says I shouldn't have sugar.
What about you? It'll make your mouth all chocolatey.
No, thanks.
Nick looks concerned. Lindsay puts her napkin aside. She gets up from the table and walks out. Nick smiles feebly at Kevin, who shakes his head dumbly and follows Lindsay out. Nick reaches for Galactica, which Kevin's left behind on the table, finishes his drink, and follows the kids out. Outside, Nick joins the kids, who stand forlornly on the balcony with their backs to him.
Hey, you forgot something.
Nick holds up Galactica. The kids turn glumly towards Nick, and then turn away, uninterested.
Sorry about what happened today. I really wish you guys didn't have to see that.
Kevin turns bitterly to Nick.
He used to look at me like that.
I know, man.
Nick walks down steps towards them.
When he hugs you, you thought he'd never let you go. They make you laugh, they tell you they love you, and then one day they just never come back.
I bet you know all about leaving, don't you, player?
You know what, as a matter of fact, I do. But only because the same thing happened to me when I was your age. Yeah, my pops walked out on us, too.
Lindsay's attitude softens.
It's a shame that anybody can call themselves a father. But listen, he's the failure in this, not you. He's the one that's gonna miss out. And I just hope it don't take you guys as long as it took me to figure that out. Because it's true. You guys are some cool kids.
Lindsay and Kevin smile warmly and appreciatively.
There you go. Come on, let's get out of here.
He hands Galactica back to Kevin and then, putting his hands on the kids' shoulders, he guides them down the rest of the steps. Later, they drive along a winding lakeside road with wooded slopes above and below. The kids still look glum. Kevin's in the front.
Nick?
What's up, little man?
If my dad left, and your dad left, does that mean I'll end up like you?
I ain't doing too bad. Look, I have blingage.
That's not exactly what I meant. I was watching Oprah, and it was all about how depressed and lonely bachelors like you are.
But I'm not depressed or lonely.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Mom says that if a man is not married by the time he's 35, he's either damaged or gay.
What?
Well, that would explain those earrings. Watch it, sucker.
But you do have intimacy issues, don't you?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Look, it's obvious. You need a timeout, and you need a little tickle time. Because all you do is ask 1,000 questions, huh? Hey, are you all right?
Kevin whips an inhaler out of Galactico's leg.
Kevin.
Kevin sucks on the inhaler.
Good.
You sure?
Yeah, except I'm out.
Okay, don't worry about that. We'll get you some more once we get there.
You sure? You can wait. If you want me to die!
The battered SUV pulls up outside a chemist just as a man in a white coat turns the sign from open to closed.
They're closing! Do something, Nick!
No, wait, hold on! Wait a minute, we need a refill.
Sorry, we're closed. Come back Tuesday.
But I got a sick kid here.
Nick slaps Kevin, who pretends to have an asthma fit.
Look, I couldn't help you even if I wanted to. The pharmacist has left for the holiday.
Well, where is he?
He's off duty. And I doubt very much he's gonna want some guy interrupting his holiday.
Nick suddenly curls his lip and looks mean.
Just a second, sir, and I'll draw you up a map.
Kevin's confused by the assistant's change of heart. Nick snarls some more.
Hey, Nick, that guy was such a meanie. How'd you get him to do what you wanted?
Oh, that was simple. I just gave him the look. It works every time.
It even worked through glass?
Oh, yeah. See, the look is something I developed when I was a kid. I had somewhat of a reputation, you know?
Surprise, surprise.
I don't want everybody stepping to me, so I give them the look, which told them, back off. That's a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
I wish I could do that.
What, you got somebody bothering you at school or something?
He's an asthmatic in the accelerator program. What do you think?
Kevin folds his arms huffily.
Try this. It's foolproof. No. Check the lip. Check the lip.
Nick curls his lip.
Man, do not take my lunch money.
Lindsay smiles.
Here we go, killer. Come on.
They all enter a colorfully decorated Legion Hall, which is full of rowdy children. Nick shudders. Some, dressed as sumo wrestlers, bash up against each other. Some throw balls. Lindsay and Nick run into the scrum.
Hey, where y'all going?
Nick approaches an elderly woman who's wearing a fake tiara.
Excuse me, I'm looking for the pharmacist.
Delwyn? Sure. He's right over there.
Delwyn is dressed as a clown trying to grab his shoe back off two boys who are throwing it to each other.
Yo, give me my shoe. Yo, excuse me, are you the pharmacist?
Not at the moment, why?
Well, look, I got a kid with me, man. He's got asthma real bad.
Try some steam. That usually helps.
Hey, knock it off.
Steam?
I know.
Hey, please stop.
Look, all I need is a refill, okay? And I know you can help. I'm asking you nice.
Nick does his move.
Mister, I've been married for 38 years. You can't scare me.
Come on, man. You're the pharmacist. I know you took an oath or something.
Not that I can remember, no. Hey, you go over there and behave yourself.
Yeah, go get him over there.
They push the fighters away.
You know, folks around here like to barter. You get what you want, I get what I want. One hand washes the other. I scratch your back.
Get to the point.
Delwyn slaps his clown's hat on Nick.
Whoa. You can't clown me.
Watch the kids.
All of them?
Delwyn claps Nick on the shoulder and leaves. Nick hops around in agony after a kid kicks his shin. Lindsay and Kevin see a table groaning with food.
Oh, my word. Pie and cake and brownies and pie?
You said pie twice.
I like pie. Kevin,
You know Mom would be upset if we were even thinking about trying any of these.
She weakens.
Chocolate.
A gooey cake.
Creamy.
Her eyes bulge.
Delicious.
She and Kevin tuck in.
Hey, I was gonna eat those brownies.
What? Just take those.
No, I want yours.
The bigger boy snatches Kevin's food. Kevin turns to Lindsay, who shrugs. Kevin then pulls the bean face Nick taught him.
Take it easy, man.
Sorry.
The chubby boy hands back the brownies and runs. Lindsay applauds a smiling Kevin, who bites into a brownie. Nick is surrounded by kids trampling on balloons, hurling missiles, squirting paint and crashing onto tables. Powerless, he turns to the lady in the tiara and her adult chums, who are watching and waiting for him to react.
What? I got this.
He eyes the women indignantly, tosses them his clown's hat, and turns back to the fray.
All right, time out! Get off!
Kids are bouncing on the two sumo wrestlers who are locked in combat. Nick peels the kids off them, then picks both wrestlers up.
What is wrong with you kids? Why y'all ganging up on here, huh? You think you're so tough? I'd like to see you try that with somebody my size.
The kids rush Nick, slam him to the floor, and then crawl all over him. Lindsay and Kevin, still munching cake, look on.
Do you think we should help him?
Kevin's holding a creamy bun.
After this bite.
Kevin takes several bites. Lindsay sighs and turns away. Nick's getting mauled.
Okay, get up! My suit! Come back here with my suit!
Lindsay steps up on a stage and takes a mic from its stand. Cringing at the noise of the feedback, she taps the mic and gets everyone's attention.
All right, people, it's time for some karaoke!
Kevin gapes.
What is she doing?
Lindsay, a slender little girl with dark braids, jeans, and pink top, wiggles her bottom at the audience, then turns and points her finger at them.
What you want, baby, I got it.
She can sing.
What you need, you know I got it. All I'm asking is for a little respect when you dance on.
All the kids clamber off Nick and clamber in front of the stage. The adults follow.
She can sing.
Nick standing in the rat crowd looking gobsmacked. Lindsay dances while Kevin plays a pretend saxophone. Nick starts to groove with the crowd. Lindsay touches waving hands and slides from the back to the front of the stage on her knees. Hand on hip, Lindsay struts about on stage and repeatedly points at the crowd. Kevin punches the air to the feet with both hands. Women are grooving merrily. Kevin and Nick hand jive enthusiastically. Lindsay beams, revealing the silver braces on her teeth. Kevin applauds wildly. Nick waves at Lindsay. She smiles and winks at him. Delvin has returned and hands Nick the medicine and his shoe. The two men smile and shake hands. Later, the battered SUV travels along a country road in dull light. The kids are in the back.
Enough. Kevin, please.
Ow!
Lindsay, I didn't know you could sing that good. Why you didn't say nothing?
Because before, you were the enemy.
You know who can sing? Galactico can sing.
Kevin crawls into the front seat, poking the lactico at Nick.
Okay. All right, okay, okay. Put that down, settle down, and put on your seatbelt. Now I know why your mama won't let you have so much sugar.
Pipe her down. You're like some kind of crazy dog. I know you have one of mine. Rover.
Nick, I don't feel so good.
You got anything to drink?
Nick reaches into a compartment between him and Kevin and pulls out a can of soda.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nick. I accidentally spilled a drop on the floor.
Little man, don't even worry about it.
There's nothing more that you can do to this car.
Kevin vomits all over the screen.
I can't see!
The car swerves, narrowly missing an oncoming vehicle. Kevin's thrown up everywhere. The SUV screeches to a halt, missing two other cars.
Is everybody all right?
I feel much better now.
Nick pulls a face and lowers the windows. Night. Suzanne's at a posh party.
Nick, where are my kids? You were supposed to be here 2 hours ago.
I know, but we had a slight delay at the border.
We're gonna need more paper towels.
Paper towels? What's going on there?
Nothing. We just pulled over for a second to clean out the navigator.
Are you kidding me? It's freezing outside and you've got my kids cleaning your precious car?
Suzanne, it's not like it seems, okay?
Well, it sounds pretty bad from here. Nick, if you're not here by 8 o'clock, you're gonna be in big trouble.
Suzanne, I got this.
8 o'clock, Nick.
All right, guys, we gotta hustle. Your mom's getting worried.
But it stinks in here.
Hold your breath. What?
If we don't move, maybe it won't kill us.
Kevin's frozen to the spot.
Oh, man, you scared of that deer? He ain't gonna hurt you. You know they come out of the woods when they get cold. He's probably hungry. Try this.
Both kids look scared. Nick holds out a biscuit to the grazing deer.
Hey, what I got?
Nick, deers are herbivores.
So what? Everybody loves chocolate chip. Hey, buddy, come on. Cookie.
Nick bites on the biscuit, and the cute-faced deer looks up.
Okay, okay, hey, come on. What? He's not gonna hurt you. I'm right here with you. Come on.
Nick puts the biscuit in Kevin's hand and leads him closer to the deer. Kevin isn't happy.
Get in there.
What if he's rabid?
The deer, which has big brown eyes and a shiny black nose, takes the biscuit.
See, he's gentle. It's not gonna hurt you. Give him
no. No way! Where's my camera?
Lindsay takes a photo and the flash sends the deer crazy. The now wild deer reels up on its hind legs and starts boxing Nick. Kevin dives in the back of the SUV. Lindsay takes photos of the fight action. The deer repeatedly whacks Nick with its front hooves.
Ooh. Give him a look, Nick! Give him a look!
Nick's keys have fallen out of his pocket. Nick raises his hands to protect his face, then wrestles the deer to the ground and hugs it so that it can't move.
Are you done? Because your head gotta go in my fireplace.
Something's bust, Nick.
And just let it go. Let it go. Now get your tail out of here before I kick some deer butt. You better run.
Kevin waves to the deer as it trots off. Lindsay takes a snap of Nick.
I hope you got some nice shots.
Yep.
Now help me find my keys. Come on out of here.
Nick lifts the tailgate on the car and Kevin jumps out. Nick tries to hotwire the car.
If your mama ever asks, don't let her know I know how to hotwire a car, okay?
But you don't know how to do it.
Quiet down out there. Have patience.
Nick puts his burning lighter down and joins two wires.
All right, calm down.
Nick runs to the bonnet of the car and lifts it up.
This should do it.
He yanks a part out and deactivates the horn. He shuts the bonnet. The lighter falls over.
Nick, cause the fire! It's burning!
No!
It's gonna
no.
burn!
Nick spots the inferno.
Be careful!
Come on, Nick, do it!
He throws soil on the fire.
Put it out!
Satch tries to blow the flames out. Nick picks up a water bottle and sprays the fire.
Could be toxic!
Worms!
Galactico!
Captain, step back, I got it!
Nick gets the toy.
Hey, Nick! Don't forget me, I'm over here! I'm on the dashboard, remember? Hey! Don't let me burn! I'm a limited edition!
Nick's gloved hand pulls Satch out.
Oh, man! I never even got to read the manual.
They stand well back and watch as the car is consumed by yellow flames. Light flickers across Nick's distraught face, then his eyes bulge.
It's dark!
Nick and the kids dive away from the car, which explodes in a ball of white light. Light debris rains down on them. They all stand again.
Why? Oh, no.
Kevin picks up Galactico.
This is about a year's pay.
Nick appeals to the heavens.
What did I do? What did I do? Why is this happening to me?
The kids glance at each other guiltily. Nick turns on them.
You two! If I didn't volunteer to babysit you two little demons, this wouldn't have never happened. And I still have my car. Go ahead and cry, I don't care. Okay, all right, stop the waterworks. Okay, all right, okay, come on, come on, come on. Stop crying.
He hugs both kids to him.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. No, no. You just got a little upset, okay? That's why you buy insurance. All right, let's sit down, sit down. Come on. Come on, man. Right here, right here. It's only a car, okay?
We are a lot of trouble. That's why our daddy doesn't want to be with us.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Look at me. Don't say that. That's not true.
But we destroyed your navigator.
That? Oh, that's nothing. That's just a material object. It means nothing.
I wouldn't want to spend New Year's with us either.
Who would?
Nick sits with his arms around their shoulders.
Me. I would. But you know what? Maybe your mother's right, you know. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. I mean, look at you two, you're a mess. I keep losing you, feeding you the wrong stuff. If you were goldfish, you'd be dead.
Lindsay smiles.
You know, you're doing okay. This is just your first day.
Yeah, you have to get experience. You'll get used to it.
Yeah, and there's books you can read too.
Thanks. But you know what? If we're not magically standing in front of your mother in the next 30 minutes or so, she'll never talk to me again.
Hey, if it's the bottom of the ninth and you're down two runs, do you just quit?
No, you put that ball back on the tee and you keep swinging.
Kevin swings Galactico. The kids smile at Nick, who smiles back thoughtfully.
Well, let's keep swinging. Come on. Let's go.
He takes their hands and they start to walk away.
Now we gotta figure out how we're gonna get to Vancouver.
They pass the smoldering car.
Hey, look! I found your keys, Nick.
What? Just my luck.
The passenger doors fall off when Nick tries the remote.
Let's get out of here.
It's dark, Nick and the kids are hitching on a wet highway.
Come on. Right here, baby. Come on now.
A car passes despite the raised thumbs.
Yo, 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 hey!
A red semi-trailer stops for them. Nick rushes to the door, opens it, and piles the kids into the cabin.
Oh, man, thanks. We're on our way to Vancouver. And I really, really appreciate this.
I couldn't leave these kids sitting out here on the highway. That's why I'm leaving you, you animal!
Wait a minute! Come back here, you hillbilly!
It's out. He takes off without Nick, who gives chase and jumps onto the running board. Al shakes him off and zooms on. Nick stands up.
Hey, yo! Bring me back my kids!
Standing in the middle of the road, he turns and sees oncoming headlights. The lights diverge and two bikers whiz past. Another truck approaches.
Stop!
The truck stops inches from Nick and he opens the door.
Mister, are you crazy? Some psycho trucker took my kids, man. We gotta catch him.
We'll hop aboard. I'll help ya!
The truck with speed kills on it zooms on.
Suzanne, they'll be here any minute. I'm sure they're fine. Now, let's concentrate on the party.
Suzanne fidgets anxiously. Meanwhile, the Motor Media billboard van with speed kills written on the side rockets after Al's semi-trailer. To kids to Al.
We were completely wrong about Nick.
Yeah, but now we know he's kind and gentle.
Come on, Slim, get me close!
Nick's truck pulls alongside Al's and Nick hammers on Al's window. Nick's stretched out, holding onto the window. Al shakes him off.
Kind and gentle, huh?
Al accelerates away from the other truck.
Go, man!
I'm moving! This thing wants to fill for speed!
The two trucks weave dangerously through city traffic.
Come on, man. You're driving like an old lady now.
No, no. You watch. Ernst knows how to drive.
Big fat Ernst slams his truck into the side of Al's.
Hey, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Let him out now.
We want to go with Nick!
Out!
Come on, Slim. Don't let him push you around. Do it. Do it.
Ernst continues to slam into Al.
Dad, Bernard, I had enough of this.
Al slams back into Ernst. The kids are thrown around. Ernst trapped back to the sidewalk and plows through a load of rubbish bins before stopping. Al speeds on.
Come on, Slim, they're getting away!
It won't turn over!
Can't do anything about it!
Nick gets out.
I'm sorry!
Nick runs after Al's truck.
Well, it's true. Never a cop around when you need one.
Lindsay jams Galactica into Al's side.
What are you doing? Are you crazy?
They put a pillowcase over Al's head and tie it with a CB radio cord. Kevin takes the wheel. Al slams on the brake. The truck smashes into a barrier and stops. The kids throw open a door and an alarm by the height of the jump. They use a seatbelt to abseil down, then let go of it. It snaps back into Al's face.
Look, it's Billy Cater. This is Mom's party.
A banner announces Winter Carnival. The kids run across a road into Coal Harbour Park, which twinkles with light. Skaters dressed as snowmen perform on a large rink. Kevin watches a man spin candy floss.
Down.
Al's grabbed Kevin and is running after Lindsay.
You two are pet control, you know that?
The skaters dance on the rink as Lindsay, wearing a bobble hat, sprints off. Al puts Kevin down.
Wait, I'm trying to protect you!
How you doing now, sucker?
Nick jumps Al from behind and they roll down towards the snowman on the rink. They roll them over and carry on sliding. They plow into another snowman and the costume head goes flying into the crowd. It's 8 o'clock. Lindsay spots the party tent and smiles. Al and Nick are fighting. Kevin runs towards Nick.
I'm gonna give you a knuckle sandwich!
Snowman holds Nick and Al back.
What's wrong with you two? He's a kidnapper! He's a kidnapper! Let me at him! Let me at him!
The fight kicks off again. Police officers run to the scene and fall about on the ice. In the party tent, Lindsay, with a rucksack over her pink duffel coat, scans the elegant guests. Suddenly, her eyes widen.
Mom!
Lindsay, honey! Oh, baby, Mommy was so worried about you. Are you okay?
Yep. 8 o'clock, just like you said.
Now, where is your brother in that Nick?
I left him by the ice skating rink.
Now, I need to know what's going on here, and I want the truth.
The truth? I don't think there's time for the truth.
Suzanne turns and sees a monitor showing Nick and Al fighting. Suzanne runs out. Nick and Al battle with everyone. Kevin starts an asthma fit.
Wait a minute. You don't understand. I got permission from his mother to bring him here. Kevin, tell him! Kevin!
Galactica drops to the ice and Kevin collapses after it.
Go! He needs his inhaler! Kevin! Oh, no. Come on, man. Come on.
Nick puts the inhaler in Kevin's mouth.
Come on, man. Breathe. Come on, breathe. Kevin!
Kevin's in Nick's arms.
Kevin.
Kevin looks up at Nick and smiles.
Don't you ever scare me like that again. You hear me? Don't you ever do that.
Maybe it won't be so bad to turn out like you after all.
Kevin!
He runs to her.
Mommy!
Oh, Kevin, honey, come here. Oh, honey, I don't know what Mommy was thinking. I should have just come home. Are you okay?
It's okay, Mom. I'm fine.
Yeah, it's okay. He's fine.
You call this fine? Look at this. This is a catastrophe.
No, Suzanne, you don't understand. I mean, me and the kids...
Nick, please. It's bad enough as it is.
Gentle-faced Nick looks downcast.
I really wanted to believe in you.
A police officer approaches.
Ma'am, did this man have permission to watch your children?
Suzanne sees Lindsay and Kevin nodding eagerly. Suzanne considers.
Yes. But it was a mistake and it won't happen again.
Lindsay pouts and stamps. Kevin's bottom lip droops.
Come on, you guys.
Suzanne, no.
Mom,
I don't want to hear it. I'm not in the mood to argue. Let's go.
Mommy.
Let's go.
Suzanne.
She turns back briefly to see the cops leading Nick away. Later, Nick leaves a mobile command center followed by Al.
Nick. Listen up. I'm sorry for all the trouble. If you're serious about heading home, I'd be proud to give you a lift.
Appreciate that, Big Al.
I got my truck right up. Oh! Hey, what are you doing, you turkey? You can't tow my truck. Put it down. I'm here. Put it down right now. Officers, I'll arrest this man.
Al's truck's about to be towed away. A dejected Nick shambles off and slumps down on a bench. There's a noise from his pocket.
Yo, Nick. Excuse me. Hey, Nick, remember me? I'm in there with a mint stuck to my head.
It's Satch.
Hey, brother. What are you moping about? You should be celebrating. You finally got rid of that highfalutin woman with that smart-mouthed little girl and that sickly boy. Yes, sir. It's New Year's Eve, and you are free at last. Time to hit some clubs. And they got some foxy ladies here. Ooh, did you know Vancouver produces more playmates than any other city in the world? Uh-huh. Let's go, player. I'm just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Cha-cha-cha!
Nick still looks glum. Then he sees a mum, dad, and kids laughing together. Nick has fond flashbacks to his journey with Lindsay and Kevin. The kids running with laughter at him on the station platform. Nick chasing alongside the freight train. Nick and Lindsay sharing a knowing look. Nick tickling and laughing Kevin in the car. Nick also remembers the kids standing in the rain outside their father's house. Then there was a time he ran through to the truck stop loo carrying Kevin. Lindsay shedding a tear. Lindsay smiling and waving to him after she sang. Kevin feeding the deer and smiling up at Nick.
Hey, Nick, do you know what they call a 50-year-old bachelor?
What?
Lonely.
Nick thinks for a moment, then his glum expression is replaced by a determined look. He gets up. Nick, in his red beanie hat and black leather coat, sprints along a brightly lit street and then runs up steps to the exclusive-looking Hotel Vancouver. He enters through a revolving door. Nick arrives at room 1408 and pauses before knocking.
Who is it?
Room service.
We didn't order anything, and that's not about to change.
Let me explain, okay? I know you're upset, and you have a right to be. But it's a good reason
Nick,
why all...
they're kids. They don't need reasons and excuses. They need a man. So whatever it is that you have to say, just drop it. I've been down this road before, and I'm not going back. Good night.
Wait. Just let me say goodbye to the kids.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Please.
She reluctantly takes the chain off the door.
Make it quick.
Nick burst into the kid's bedroom.
Nick!
Hey! How you guys doing? You all right?
I knew you'd come back. Lizzie didn't think so, but I did.
Well, you know I'm gonna be your friend always, right?
But Mama's not gonna date you anymore.
Mm-mm.
Listen, you guys.
He sits Kevin on his knee. He puts his arm around Lindsay.
Your mother is a very, very wonderful lady. And she's gonna be dating guys that are much better than me. So you guys gotta stop chasing them off, okay? And stay away from their cars. Unless they're bulletproof.
Watching them, Suzanne smiles.
How do I know we'll ever see you again?
Oh, I got something for you. I want you to hold on to my man, Satch, okay? That's until I see you again. All right, gotta get going.
Do you have to?
Yeah, little man, I think so. Look, I got one more thing for you.
He takes off his huge, sparkly cross and puts it round Lindsay's neck.
There you go.
He puts his big medallion on Kevin.
And for you? Now you have blingage. I love you guys.
He kisses them, and they snuggle into him.
See you later, okay?
The kids nod glumly. Nick lifts Kevin back onto the bed. Suzanne is tearful. Nick stands up to face her.
Suzanne, I'm sorry about what happened today. I really am. I just want to know if we can still be friends.
Nick, I don't think that's going to happen.
The kids exchange a sad look.
Okay.
Dejected, Nick starts to head out.
Nick, we can't be friends. Because I want to be so much more than just your friend.
What?
They hug tightly. The kids run and hug them.
Hey!
It's midnight. Fireworks fountain in the dark sky.
It's New Year's. Aren't you supposed to kiss her?
Nick and Suzanne look adoringly into each other's eyes and then kiss tenderly. Satch watches.
I love a happy ending.
Kevin and Lindsay jump with joy as Suzanne and Nick sink deeper into a long and passionate kiss. The image draws further and further back to outside the hotel, which sits like a fairy tale castle among the skyscrapers of Vancouver. Fireworks explode in the night sky, filling it with cascades of bright and colourful light. The screen cuts to black. ITFC audio description by Helen Vasey and Alan Blyton was read by James O'Hara. White letters on a black background. Cast: Nick Persons, Ice Cube. Suzanne Kingston, Nia Long. Lindsay Kingston, Alicia Allen. Kevin Kingston, Philip Daniel Bolden. Marty, Jay Moore. Al, MC Ganey. Voice of Satchel Page, Tracy Morgan. Carl, Henry Simmons. Car dealer, Ray Galletti. Nick's pal on the street, Viv Leacock. Shoplifters, Casey Dubois, J.B. McEwen. Basketball players, Kenyon Lewis, Daniel Cudmore, Timothy Paul Perez, Adrian Holmes. Lady Airport Cop, Nancy Robertson. Airport Security Guards, Tony Ali, DJ Jackson. Airport Screener, Renard Howard. Train Conductor, Alistair Abel. Woman in Bathroom, Anne Warren Pegg. Amish Man, Frank C. Turner. Car Mechanic, Derek Lowe. Frank Kingston, Sean Millington. Frank's Wife, Shireen Haas. Drugstore Clerk, David McKay. Grandmother at Kids Party, Esme Lambert. Pharmacist Clown, Jerry Harden. Hungry Kid at Party, Curtis Butchart. Ernst, C. Ernst Hart. Suzanne's co-worker, Donaldo Williams. Cop at Party, Robert Manitopius. Satchel Page, Puppeteers, Georgios Pontos, David Barclay, Bruce Lanoil. Music, Wanna Be Your Lover, written by Prince R. Nelson, performed by Prince. Here It Comes, written by Ali D. Theodore and Vincent Alfieri, performed by A.D. Ride With Me, written by Eldra DeBarge, Randy DeBarge, Jason Epperson, Cornell Haynes, Etteline Jordan, and Lavelle Webb. Performed by Nelly, featuring City Spud. Get Ready, written by William Robinson Jr., performed by The Temptations. The Hamster Dance Song, written by Robert De Burr, Anthony Grace, and Roger Miller. Performed by Hampton the Hamster. One Up Gangster, written by Curtis James Jackson and Robert F. Tulo. Performed by 50 Cent. Time's Up, written by Jason Phillips, Nathaniel D. Hale, and Scott Storch. Performed by Jadakiss, featuring Nate Dogg. Theme from Shaft, written by Isaac Hayes. Respect, written by Otis Redding. Telephone Blues, written by Bruce Garnett, performed by Bruce Garnett and Steve Donovan. Winter Wonderland, written by Felix Bernard and Dick Smith. Just a Gigolo, written by Julius Brammer, Irvin Caesar, and Leonello Cascucci. Copyright 2005 Revolution Studios Distribution Company, LLC, all rights reserved. Revolution Studios Distribution Company, LLC, is the author of this film, motion picture, for the purpose of copyright and other laws. All trademarks and copyrights of the National Hockey League and its member teams are used with permission, all rights reserved. The Major League Baseball trademarks depicted in this motion picture were licensed by Major League Baseball Properties, Inc. Topps basketball card used with permission. Filmed in the Sea to Sky Corridor, British Columbia. The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. AHA 00658. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. The Columbia Pictures logo, released by Columbia Pictures, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company.